If I were to announce this morning that I'm going to run, what would you think? Oh no. Politician gets up and he says, "I'm going to run." And you think, "I bet that's not out of my sight." All right? Where have you heard that phrase before? At a track meet? Escape prisoner? I'm going to run? A prowler being chased by a dog? Maybe on the basketball court. Take the ball and run with it. Of course, that's probably better for football than basketball. Never have understood why they call it walking when they're seldom walking on the basketball court when they pick up the ball. They're always running. Our text for this morning, if you want to turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. What does the Hebrew writer say about running? I'm going to run. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us run. The story is told about two fellas that were up in the mountains hiking. Of course, they had all their gear, backpack. They happened upon a narrow place in the trail where a bear was coming down the trail. And it sniffed them, it was hungry, and it charged. And the two fellas turned and began to run back down the path. They had a little bit of a lead on the bear, and the first fella stopped, and he pulled off his backpack, and he got into it, and he started pulling out his tennis shoes and putting them on instead of his heavy hiking boots. And his friend said, "You can't outrun a bear." He said, "I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you." You'll get it here in a minute, Ben. Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Sometimes in order to run, and especially in the spiritual realm, you have to be unencumbered. Have you ever had an addiction? I have loved ones that have struggled with addiction. What's it like to desire something that you know is bad for you? To want it so badly you just can't talk yourself out of it. To indulge again and again only to condemn yourself because you know, I really shouldn't be doing this. Whether it be drugs, alcohol, sexual perversions, fornication, adultery. What does the Hebrew writer say? Lay it aside. Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Is it important for me, if I'm going to walk with Christ, to not be burdened with sin? It's impossible for me not to sin. John tells us that in 1 John chapter 1. But I've got to try. When Jesus talked to his disciples, he said, if you're going to try and help someone else remove the speck out of their eye, what have you got to do? First, remove the log that's in your own. My Christian walk requires of me self-examination. I think we've shared from time to time a little bit of our trip up into the mountains back in, 1980. Jed was born in 79, I think it was 1980. We went with the Wilderness Trek up into the hills here that Pete and Margie have been so much a part of, and maybe some others of you have. And I can remember they ran out of snowshoes. There was about 40 of us in the group, and we were carrying packs anywhere from 40 to 60 pounds, and we were going back up toward Harvard Peak in the month of May. Snow was anywhere from 3 to 8 feet deep in places, and they ran out of snowshoes before they got to me. I got a pair of mukluks. That doesn't sound very appetizing, does it? But it is a long pair of boots. And I would do my best to stay on the trail, the snowshoe trail, but invariably with that 60-pound pack on my back, I'd sink to my thighs. I'd climb out, I'd take another step, down I'd go. You know what I wanted to do with that backpack? I didn't want to wear it. I thought, this is encumbering me. I thought that I wouldn't crack through near as many times if I just didn't have this backpack on. Now, in that situation, I really didn't have a choice if I wanted to sleep in shelter that night or have any food to eat. That was required of me to carry that. But sometimes in life, we carry things that we don't have to. Quite often, we find ourselves trying to run encumbered. Jesus said, remove the log that is in your own eye. The Hebrew writer said, lay aside every weight and sin. Now, what that says to me is not everything that encumbers me is necessarily sin. I may have things in my life that encumber me from walking the spiritual walk that I should, from running the race that I should, that are not necessarily evil. Could a relationship encumber me? Now, wives, before you say, okay, I'm getting rid of that boy, I'm not saying that you ought to walk away from your husbands, but could some relationships, Jesus said a man should hate his father and mother in order to love me. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. There are times when maybe my job is more than I can spiritually endure. I know that there's been situations where I've worked at certain places that I was thrown into a mix of people that just wasn't very healthy for me. One of the things we told our kids as they were growing up, we said, you're going to have friends of the world. We're not asking you not to have friends that are outside of Christ. But be careful. And the one thing we said to them is always ask yourself, am I influencing them for good or are they influencing me for bad? And that's a good measure in any relationship that I have. It's not that I don't rub elbows with people of the world. God is not saying that I must disassociate myself from all that is not of Him. Unless He calls Himself brother. That's what Paul tells the Corinthians. But otherwise, he said, if we disassociated ourselves from all that is evil, we might as well not be in the world. That's what monasteries mistakenly build themselves around, is the concept of separating oneself from the world so that they can be spiritual. That's not what the Bible is saying. But I must be careful about the world's influences on me. And if there's an opportunity for me to walk away from a situation that is influencing me for evil, I think then that is included in this phrase, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. I may have ill feelings that are burdening me down. You may not feel your best toward me or toward a brother or sister in Christ. You may agonize over how your feelings have been hurt at some perceived slight. Would that keep you from thinking appropriate thoughts, not simply about that person, but about life in general? Surely it would. Let us lay aside every weight. Unburden ourselves. How do you do that? How does one lay aside that encumbrance? It may be a change in behavior. Talking about addictions or those things that we know to be wrong. Cease and desist. Just quit doing them. I saw, I don't know what channel it's on, and I hesitate to share it because I was flipping through the channels and maybe I got on one of those channels I shouldn't have. But Bob Newhart was counseling this lady, and she had paid for an hour's worth of counseling, or was going to pay. And when I got there, he had been with her for 3 minutes and she was ready to write out a check or give him some cash. And I thought, wow, how do you have a counseling session that ends in 3 minutes? So I tuned in. And she said, well, how much do I owe you? And he said, well, let's see. Based on the minutes, you owe me $3. And she said, okay. And she reached in, not her wallet, but her purse, and she pulled it. She said, all I've got is a five. He said, I don't give change. And he said, but you can sit back down and get your money's worth. And so she sat back down. She's going to get 5 minutes, I guess. And as she sat there, everything that she came up with, she said, I really remember my childhood. He said, we don't go there. She said, I've got some ill feelings toward my coat. Stop it. She said, I really have this fear of, stop it. And I realized what his counseling was all about, you know. He was just saying, stop it, stop it, stop it, quit it, quit it. And it just progressed. I'm sure she got more than her $5 worth, but it progressed as it went on. And basically what he was saying to her is that you're carrying a lot of things that are unnecessary. Now, he was not sensitive, and that was the whole point of the skit. But I had to look at myself and say, does that not fit me? Aren't there things that I burden myself with unnecessarily when simply changing my behavior, not going to the places that tempt me, not running with the people that corrupt me, not putting myself into compromising situations willfully, if just seeking good counsel and listening to it, I might be unburdened of those things. I am familiar with those who have gone through the 12-step process, and I admire that process because it does point people toward God in a very generic form, but at least it does say that there is a God. And the ones that I have talked to, for the most part, have been helped. Now, I'm not advocating necessarily AA or whatever it is that they do with the drugs. I know it's got a different moniker. I'm not necessarily saying that those are the greatest things on earth, but I have attended some of those sessions as a guest. As a guest, okay. Would it be bad if I'd gone as a patient? But I've attended as a guest, and I've sat through what they talk about. And basically what they're saying, you are responsible. You must take responsibility for who you are and what you are. You can't lay it at anybody's feet, but understand this, you can't do it alone either. You must depend on a higher power. You will not find it within yourself. What does the Hebrew writer say? Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and pioneer of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What I like about that program is that if someone is really, really seeking and sincere, it's a first step toward looking to Jesus. How do I lay aside that which encumbers me? It may be a simple shift in priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I've known those who've dealt with addictions that because they have become Christians and are so wrapped up in the work of the Lord, they don't have time anymore for all those old bad habits. They've replaced that which is bad with good. They're no longer off course, they're on course. They're no longer on the sidelines running with that is wrong. They're on track with Jesus, doing that which is right. And they don't have time. Their priorities have been adjusted. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. It may be as simple, this laying aside of weight and sin which so easily besets us. It may be simply changing my attitude. There are times when I may need to adjust my relationships, to adjust my vocation, even location may need to be different. But quite often, I'll submit this to you, it's simply my outlook. I can be a friend that influences others for Christ if I'll but go into that relationship with that intent in mind. I can be a co-worker that is a sea of peacefulness in a world of chaos if I'll but keep in mind who I am and who I live for. A change in attitude. I can be a mate with an almost unbearable husband or wife that continues to walk in the Lord because I serve Him, not just a person or a human being. Christ can fill me even in the worst of situations with hope and courage. Prisoner, an American truck driver in Iraq. They've interviewed him. They've asked him, what is it that caused you to hang on? What is it that gave you hope? He was surrounded by people that he couldn't communicate with carrying automatic weapons. He said today that they were arguing at one time over who should have the gun, and he was afraid they were trying to decide who was going to shoot him. His arm was broken. His fellow truck drivers were captured or dead. He was isolated and alone for 3 weeks. He didn't know if he was going to make it. So they asked him simply, "What kept you alive?" He said, "I just kept thinking about my wife, my children, my family, my faith." You see what he had to deal with? Certainly he wanted to change his location. Certainly he wanted to change his surroundings. He wanted to be out of what was besetting him, but nonetheless, simply his frame of mind unburdened him of that which might have weighed him down and pulled him under. And he always sought an opportunity to escape. And finally it was made available when he heard the diesel engine of a Humvee. How would you recognize a diesel engine of a Humvee? Do you remember his occupation? He's a drug driver. He knows his engine. It had been just a few moments before that his captors had been arguing over the gun. He had the incentive to run. Jesus says simply in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is Matthew chapter 11, beginning now with verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What does Jesus provide? He helps us refocus. In fact, He clears our vision. It's easier for us to attain a goal when we can see the prize. Jesus gives us that hope. Jesus changes our attitudes toward others by filling our hearts with a heart of mercy. We've been forgiven, so we are forgiving. That slight or that injustice we set aside. Peter said simply in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, "So put away all malice, all guile, all envy, all insincerity, and like newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word." Jesus allows us to do that. I can forgive you because Jesus has forgiven me. I can see clearly the goal because Jesus has given me one that is not of this world, but of the next. I have hope for life eternal. And in the process of my enlightenment in Jesus' Word, He identifies for me, through His teachings, the pitfalls. If you have to experience everything bad in life for yourself before you realize that it's bad, you're like a child that's got to touch every hot stove in every room. What are your hands going to look like whenever you get done? You say, "That child's not very bright." What Jesus does for us is He tells us that's hot. Leave it alone. Don't encumber yourself with that activity. It's not good for you. And if I love Him as I should, I honor His wishes, even if I don't understand. Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And Jesus says, "And I will give you rest." Honestly, is there any more peaceful existence than as a child of God? Even if I'm surrounded by enemies, I still have hope. Even if darkness is my lot, I still have light. Even if I am encumbered with literal chains, bound so that my freedom is totally reneged, in Christ, I have life. Fear not them that can destroy the body, but fear Him who can destroy both body and soul. Jesus said those words in Matthew chapter 10 to His disciples as He was sending them out into the world. And what He said was, life isn't going to be easy, but you can be at peace. This race is going to be full of obstacles, but you can hurdle them. You may even die in the process of serving Me, but know that you have life. The world doesn't understand that. Jesus' disciples could say, "I'll run. I'll run." I don't know how long my course will be, but as long as I have strength, I'll run. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge gentleness, to gentleness self-control, to self-control godliness, to godliness brotherly love. Signposts in my walk. Peter defines those for us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Add. What runner is worth his salt if on the starting line when the gun goes off, he doesn't move? You say, that fellow's doomed to lose. What runner worth his salt in a lap that is supposed to be, in a race that's supposed to include four laps, stops on number three? He's not going to win. The analogy that we have in the Scriptures is my spiritual existence is typified by a race. I look to Jesus, the author and pioneer and perfecter of my faith, because He completed the course and has received His reward. One final passage of Scripture that we get from the Apostle Paul. Paul said that in a normal race, all runners compete, but only one receives the prize. What if our Christian walk, our Christian race, was a competition? What if I told you that out of this group today, only three of us are going to heaven? And it depends upon who outdoes the other for you to get the crown. You say, that doesn't sound fair. That'd be the way it was for a normal race. First, second, third, right? That's how they give out medals, right, Jeremy? First, second, third. You don't get one of those, then maybe you get a ribbon, but you don't get to place with the big boys. You don't get to go to state. You don't get to compete. You don't get the reward. What if God ran the church like that? Only those who are the very best. That's not what Paul is saying. He is saying in a literal race, all compete, but only one receives the prize. And the analogy that he is saying is, but you don't have to worry about competing with anybody else. God is not going to have a stopwatch and say, oh, that's a bad time. He's not going to have a measuring stick and say, oh, you didn't jump high enough. He's not going to get out there and say, oh, I'm sorry. As long as I am trying, as long as I have stayed the course, as long as I'm still on track, when He returns, no matter how many times I've fallen, no matter how many times I've been diverted, no matter how many times I have failed to listen to His advice, if I'm still trying when He returns or when I die, Paul says there's a crown laid up for me. You see, I really don't have any excuse. I must run. I must. Because Jesus is my Savior. Are you in the race? Are you on course? Come unto me, Jesus says. All you who labor and are heavy laden, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. If you're not yet a child of God or have fallen away, won't you come as we stand and as we sing? Yeah.